God sent forth his son. Now, you couldn't state Christmas any clearer than that. That's what Christmas is. God sent forth his son. And he was, the details of his birth we read about for the last 3 weeks in different passages. God sent forth his son. Now, the interesting statement previous to that is that the fullness of time had come. Now, what could that mean? Let's explore that a little bit. You have all the past history up to that moment. And you think back through the great events of Genesis and Exodus and the days of David and all that was happening as God orchestrated history. And the empires that had risen and fallen, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, and now the Roman Empire is in power. God has moved history along. And he has had in mind a decree, a predestinated moment when Christ would be sent from heaven and become Jesus. So at the perfect moment, the exact day in history, Christ was born. He was sent forth from the Father. Couldn't have happened a day earlier. Couldn't have happened a day later. It was a predestinated moment. God was preparing the world politically and religiously, and the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah, the King who was going to come. And so that's what that statement means. When the fullness of time had come, when the predestinated moment arrived perfectly, God sent forth his son. Now, the word sent forth is interesting. It's the same word that is translated apostle. Apostle means sent forth. So the apostles of the early church days were people who were sent forth with the message. And they went out and established all these local churches we read about in the New Testament. So God apostled his son, sent forth. Now, what we're going to get into in a moment is the Trinity, because in this passage we have the mention of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, a thing that most people do not get, and it does not register with them, is a truth that is vitally important to us, and that is that God sent forth his Son, he became human, he was a baby, he was a child, he was a teenager, he was an adult, but he is God. Jesus Christ is as divine or as much deity as is God the Father, not less. But because he is designated the Son of God and took on a human body, many people feel that only God the Father is God, and the Son is something less. Not so. Jesus Christ is God. That baby lying in a manger is the Creator. So we need to know that. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is as much God as is God the Father and God the Son. And so we need to know that the God we worship is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that makes a big difference because other groups deny the Trinity, and they are called Unitarians. They say there's one God, but they do not acknowledge Christ as God. And most of those groups would be called like Christian Science, religious sciences, and so on, denying Christ as God. So God sent forth his Son. That is Christmas. You can't get any more Christmas anywhere in the Bible than that statement there. When God sent forth his Son, that is Christmas. And the Son came from, God says, from myself. This is my Son. I'm not sending an angel. I'm not sending someone else. It's my Son. And Paul says he is the indescribable gift. Thank God for his indescribable gift. What's an indescribable gift? It's one you can't explain fully. And we can't explain Christ fully because he's God. And we can only know as much of God as he chooses to reveal himself, and that's what he's done. I'm just saying to you, this is Christmas. And this is a gift that lasts forever. It's not something temporary. Our Lord Jesus Christ is heaven's most precious possession, and the greatest gift that God could give, he gave. There's nothing greater than Christ. And no matter what our earthly Christmases may be, there's nothing that compares to that gift. That's the first gift. Now, the second, and there's a lot explained here about him. What? Let's just review that for a moment. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. He's born of a woman. Now, why would that be included that way in Scripture? To reveal that he had no earthly father. He cannot have an earthly father, or he would have a sin nature. The sin nature of Adam is transmitted through the fathers to the children. And for the Lord Jesus Christ to be perfect and without sin and without a sin nature, he cannot have an earthly father. So he is born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, being impregnated by the Word of God. And he is born. And he's born under the law to redeem those under the law as he became human, to keep the law for us. The law which condemned us is we're now free from. We don't run around with 578 laws written on our wall that we wake up to every morning to say, I got to keep the law. No, he did that for us. And his obedience to the law is as our obedience. So we could rightly say, have you kept the law? Yes, in Christ I have. And now we're not under that, but we're under the grace. So that's what he did. Now, the second gift that comes is that we have received the adoption as sons. Now, the term used here, sons, masculine, includes male and female. We are sons and daughters. But in the legal sense of the term, we are sons in that we receive the full rights as sons. Now, in with the Romans, there was adoption. But if they would adopt a child, that child was not considered an heir until it became an adult. When you and I are adopted into God's family, we are taken with all the rights and privileges of full-grown adulthood, and that we become an heir. So here's the second great gift. We are brought into God's family. And we were brought in because we were not in. We had to be made sons of God. And only Christ's death and resurrection could do that. And it's for male and female, being in the family. It's a supernatural event where now we can say, God is our Father. And in verse 6, we read about the Holy Spirit being in our hearts so that we can cry, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba is a different word than the Hebrew word. It's called Aramaic, which was a language alongside Hebrew. And it's a title of endearment, which causes us to say, Dear Heavenly Father. And that's a proper thing to do and a proper thing to feel, because the Holy Spirit causes that in us, that God is now our Father, and he's perfect. Every human father breaks down somewhere, but here is a perfect Father, and that each Christian can come to him and say, Dear Heavenly Father, we become sons of God. And along with that, we have an inheritance. We have been made heirs of God. Now, this is a subject in itself. But just think of that. You received a present or two this Christmas. And it's a material thing. Is God a material? Is he materialistic? Yes, he is. Because he created all it. His world is a material world. His universe is made up of stars and planets and an earth, and he's materialistic. And he owns it all. And how much of it as a Christian do you own? How much of it is yours? All of it. Everything that our Lord Jesus Christ owns, you own and possess. We don't have time now, but you'd want to study Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, and know that we are joint heirs with Christ, and that we possess God's universe equally, which leads me just as a side commercial here to say that I do not believe the Bible teaches rewards. That one Christian is going to have a great mansion and the other is going to live in a cracker box. And one Christian is going to have the hottest car that you could drive and another is going to be on rollerblades or whatever it is. No, we are all joint heirs with Christ. All as a, that's a Christmas gift. And this is a gift that lasts forever and can't be lost. The third gift mentioned in this passage is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we read that in verse 6. And because you are sons, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, so we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what happens in the transaction of salvation? God brings us into his family by his grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior by his death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit comes to live, abide, and remain with us. Jesus didn't stay here geographically in a body. He ascended to heaven, but he is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Father, and he is called the Spirit of Christ. And Christ is not here physically, but he is here spiritually residing in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that is the gift of God. And that enables us to live new. So we have relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who lives in us now. When we get into the subject of our personal renewal, we'll spend two messages on the fact of the Holy Spirit living and abiding in our hearts. But an interesting statement here is that God sent forth His Son, and then the same term is used that God sent forth His Spirit. So He is apostled from the Father to us to live in us. God is in us, abiding, remaining, dwelling as God's Christmas gift that lasts forever. Now, He is put into our hearts. He is placed into our hearts. He is not in the life of any unbeliever. No matter how nice people have been, no matter how moral they look on the outside, they do not have the gift of God's Holy Spirit dwelling within. And this is clear because the Holy Spirit, it does dwell within us because of one reason stated here, and I read it twice. It's because we are sons. It isn't because we are good. It isn't because we merit God living in us. It isn't because we have earned that relationship. It's because by the grace of God, we are sons. And there's no personal merit, no boasting about it. And the Holy Spirit is in us on December 26th. The day after Christmas, as well as the 25th. So we have Christmas gifts that last forever. And the Holy Spirit is here to produce worship, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the qualities of love and joy and faith. He is in us to produce Christian service so that we volunteer to preach and teach Sunday school and give and serve. And this morning, what a great thing it is that we have gifts that last forever and God's presence with us to help us here through the hard times and the difficult times of life, to give us joy and faith and peace. And these gifts, the gift of God's Son and the gift of being made sons and the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us, enable us to live right. And so we don't just look forward to heaven. We look forward to life now, to spending our life with Him. And it's a good thing, I think, for us daily to acknowledge the presence of the Lord in our life. And not just to ignore or neglect that truth. And not to, and to commune with Him. And not fail to talk to Him or to acknowledge His presence. If somebody came into your room to visit you, you would not ignore them or walk into another room. You would say hello and you would talk to them and you would be friendly. And we should do the same thing with the Lord. He's in our life. Let's visit with Him. Let's talk to Him. Let's commune with Him. Let's come to the Bible and ask Him to speak to us. And let's thank Him that He is here to help and strengthen us. So let's pray about that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You this morning that we can say that with all of our hearts. You are dear to us because of the value and the worth that is in Your own being. Thank You for Your precious gifts that enable us to live now. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ to come here. Thank You that You've made us Your sons and daughters in Your family. And thank you, dear Lord, that you are here this morning in our lives to enable us to live now. Make this a life-changing year for us as we move into 94 to live for your glory. Bless our church. This morning we pray for those who are not here and ask that you would give them a spirit of worship and help those who are sick to be revived and renewed and brought back to worship and serve you. And use us for your glory. And we thank you for this passage of Scripture and for each other. And we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.